You.
I'm just saying, bro, episode 112. I'm Earl.
I'm Stav. Y'all know what to do. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Y'all know that little thing that go back and forth. So y'all the first of all our videos. You feel me? But we on everywhere you can stream a podcast. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public. Anywhere you listen to a podcast, man, just type us up. I'm just saying, bro. But
facts.
Yeah, it's been been a little minute since last episode, whatever the case may be. But the draft just happened. A lot of stuff going on with the playoffs. You feel me? I just want to honestly, you say you're not a Cowboys fan no more, whatever the case may be, which I honestly don't believe. But supposedly, you know, you don't care about what the Cowgirls did. But my Eagles did the damn thing. And Howie didn't did it again, man. He didn't did it again. And all I can say is to all the people that had problems with Howie, hey, man, what you going to say now? What you going to say? My guy went out there, did what he had to do. Great draft. Went and got us two linebackers. Not one. You feel me? Like, went and got Jordan Davis. And then, like, obviously, the A.J. Brown trade was just like, what? When it went down, I'm like, ain't no way, bro. Ain't no way. How you even make that happen? Like, what went on? Like, what? All I know is him and Jalen Hurts is best friends. Jalen Hurts talked to management, ownership, or whatever the case may be. They made the shit happen. I can't believe we got A.J. Brown. I've been bitching all offseason about us getting a wide receiver, supposedly spending money on a wide receiver that we, you know what I'm saying? Yo, Allen Robinson, we supposed to have put money up for him. We didn't get him. It's just all these wide receivers. We went and got A.J. Brown. 4-year, $100 million. I'm not even mad at that because he's a stud. That's why I'm not mad at it. Like, nah, I'm not going to lie. I never thought the Eagles would pay like a wide receiver that much money, but I think like 60 guaranteed, 57 million guaranteed.
Something like that.
Bro, like, we got a stud. We got A.J. Brown. And supposedly Howie's trying to say that during the draft process, they really like A.J. Brown. They liked him over D.K. Metcalf and all that shit because D.K. Metcalf medicals or some shit like that. But I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. It might be true,
like,
but
nah, they like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over
there. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't even, that don't even make sense. If you liked him that much, why didn't you draft him? Like, what, you exactly. Was trying to get J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and him? Like, stop it. Like, cut it out. You didn't really like him that much because you would have drafted him, but you would have took a chance on him. Right. But, bro, I'm just amazed, and I just want to give Howie his flowers because at the end of the day, all Eagles fans, everybody knowing Philly as an Eagles fan, and all they do is bitch about Howie and what he doesn't do during the offseason and the trades he doesn't make and or the trades he does make with draft picks and all that shit, trying to make sure our future is okay. And now you see what happens when you trade all those draft picks and you make all those moves and you make all those deals. Listen, we are set up for this year and we still got picks for next year. I think we got 2 first round picks next year. We got some picks for the following year. Like, bro, he be setting us up for success. That's why he got his extension, bro. Nobody got it. Even when it happened, I think I said it. Like, I don't get why how he got an extension, but hey. Look, man. Bro, Wynn got us that big defensive tackle from Georgia, Jordan Davis, and verdict. I know what bro is about, but they saying he's only a 2-down player or whatever the case may be. Yeah, when you got 15 other players on your team that's flames, you probably is going to be a 2-down player. That's what people not getting. And Philly just going with this story about that. Like, oh, he's a 2-down player. Why would you dress up? Like, come on. Go ahead.
Just like all the running backs from Georgia. They like, all split carries too.
Bro, they got too much talent. They had too much talent.
When it's too many players, bro. That's what's going to happen in college. All of y'all niggas here on scholarship, maybe one of y'all not, but so what? Y'all about to split snaps. Y'all all
so they don't lose them. That's what they said. Georgia was like, basically, they had to let the lineman, tell the lineman, like, look, when blowouts and all that stuff, the starters, y'all not going to play. We going to let the other dudes play because we going to lose these recruits. Like, we're going to lose them. They're going to go in the transfer portal because they not getting no tick. They not getting a chance to show their ability. You feel what I'm saying? So they have too much talent.
They trying to get drafted too.
Bro, how many off the offensive line? I think he took 6. It was like 16 off the team. But off the defensive line, it was just like, bro, the number one pick went. The 13th pick went. It was just like, bro, the first round was ridiculous. I think they had like four players in the first round, like off their offensive line. I mean, defensive line. Like, what? Like, what?
That's,
like,
that's ridiculous, different. Bro.
That's different, bro. So we got one of them. Excuse me. We got two of them because somehow, some way, in some multi-universe, shout out to Doctor Strange, that joint about to come out, but some multi-universe, we got N'Kobe Dean too. Bro, supposedly, he's had injuries and stuff.
That's why he played
all last year.
Mm-hmm.
He played all last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was injured, though. That's what they say. They say he was injured. Supposedly, during the offseason, he hurt himself. He's like, yo, I watched his interview. I watched a couple interviews after he got there. He said, I was never hurt. Like, he said, I strained my pec a little bit, whatever. And I went to a couple doctors and asked them, did I need to get surgery or whatever? And they all told me no. So I just didn't get surgery. I'm fine. I'm completely healthy. I'll be at rookie mini camp, whatever the case may be. I'm going to be there. I'm completely healthy. So the fact that he dropped that low, obviously we know he's small. He like, I think like 6'2 or something like that. 6'2, 220. 6'2, 220. But I don't give a damn. Once again, I think I'm about to make some t-shirts. It's about the eye test. I think I'm gonna make some t-shirts like that because like it's about the eye test, man. And you telling me if you turn on any tape from Georgia defense last year and you don't see N'Kobe Dean on the screen or fly like in flash, you lying. You're a damn liar because the dude is ridiculous. Like his instincts, his speed, it's changing the everything, bro. It's like y'all worried about him not having to wait. Oh, the NFL, it gonna be 250 and 250. It need to be a little bigger and it needs to be a little. Shut up, bro. Some players just have it, bro. Some players just have it and some players just don't have it. It's just that simple. And if you telling me N'Kobe Dean don't have it, you weird. And you, I ain't even gonna say you weird. You just don't know what you're talking about. It's just ridiculous. So the fact that we got him and Jordan Davis, two champions. You know what I'm saying? Know how to win. Know how to play together already. N'Kobe Dean was the leader of that defense. We saw in the championship when he stopped Alabama from scoring a touchdown. It wasn't even his. He helped somebody else. He recovered from somebody else. He's screaming to his man, yo, man, you're supposed to be here. What happened the next play? The man, I think Bull got a pick or a fumble or something. I think he got a strip sack or something like that. Right after that, the boy he just snapped on. I remember that. I didn't even know who N'Kobe Dean was. I swear. I didn't even know who he was. I'm like, who, Bull? He's snapping. Yo, what's up with him? Like, bro, like, I can't believe it. So now we got a leader in the linebacker room. Like, listen, bro, great draft, man. I didn't understand the tight end at the end of the draft. I really didn't get that at all because we turned Arthega Whiteside into a tight end. And they said they're going to make him put on like 30 pounds, but.
Yeah, but he probably still going to be cheeks.
Yeah. So, yeah, great draft, man. We got another offensive lineman. And the dude out of Kansas, the linebacker / defensive end. I can't remember his name. It's something Johnson. I just talked about Kyron Johnson. Bro, the dude was at. What do they call that thing when all the players? You know what I'm talking about.
Combine?
No, not the combine.
Pro day?
Senior Bowl.
Okay.
This dude was at the Senior Bowl. All the offensive tackles that got drafted in the first round, second round, was throwing all of them around. And he undersized. Bro, I got to send you the video of him. It was like the first round offensive tackle. I believe he was out of Northwest. I don't even know where he was. But he was like one of the highest offensive tackles, bro. Crazy size difference, bro. He just pushing him back, bro. The dude just got natural strength. Just like I said with N'Kobe Dean. Them dudes small, but they got that chip on their shoulder and they know how to play, bro. They just know how to play. So at the end of the day, successful draft, man. I'm happy with how we did. That's all I got to say about the draft. I mean, I could talk about the whole draft and all that stuff besides, you know, my man Jameson Williams. He's mad as hell. He had to go to Detroit and all
he's
that.
He's sticky in Detroit. He is so sick. Oh, my God.
He said, oh my God, what happened to Virgil?
Oh my bro, God. That but man no, in the yeah. picture. To follow, yeah. To follow up on your points, bro, 100% I think y'all had a great draft. Obviously, day one, y'all traded for A.J. Brown, which, you know, we've been talking about the whole season and offseason, how what Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith both need is a true number one out there to help both of them for real, for real. So now y'all got that. That's fire. Y'all got AJ Brown, kind of. I ain't going to say it was for cheap, but it was for cheap when you see what other receivers is going for. So y'all got a little still for real, low key. I know, you know, technically he not no Tyreek Hill. He don't have 101 speed on Madden, but he get to it in real life, so it don't matter. They both get to it, so it is what it is. Y'all did perfect with that. Y'all didn't y'all sign or franchise or sign Fletcher to a 1-year deal, and then y'all drafted Jordan Davis. So guess who he's about to learn from? One of the best D tackles in the game. Fire.
And still got Hargrave.
Exactly. And Jordan Davis was like the fastest D tackle since I don't know when, and he's strong as hell. So yeah, I think
he was stuffing the run in college by himself.
I know. I think Howie did a great job. The center pick at first in the second round, I didn't understand it, but he is probably the best center that was on the board. He don't got to start right away. He might, but he don't have to. And y'all still ended up getting the Kobe Dean in the third round. So it worked out perfectly for y'all.
Yeah, real right.
And then the other linebacker y'all got, I didn't even know about Bull, but I was just reading about him while you was talking about him. And from what they saying, he's a demon. I mean, I know we don't really care about what they be saying, but I ain't got nothing else to go off right now. So I'm going to look into him after this, though. But
go look at the Senior Bowl, bro. Like, it's only – you only got – bro, you don't even have to look at that many videos. I promise you. Just look at one little – It's like 2 minutes.
Bro, that's literally what they're saying in the draft, John. They say he's undersized, but he has explosive power, and he flashed good speed to power the week of the Senior Bowl. That's literally what they're talking about.
I had no idea to this boy. I'm like, who is this little guy? Like, because he's little. Like, you know I love the little guy. I'm little, so I love the little guys, bro. I'm like, yo, he is, like, throwing these big men, like, throwing these offensive tackles. Like,
just throwing them around.
The whole every drill, bro. I'm like, yo, this is wow. These are first round. These are the dudes that they're saying going to protect the quarterbacks. Oh, yeah. Go get him.
Right.
Go get him. So,
right.
Yeah, bro.
But, yeah, y'all got two inside linebackers that's both fast with power, which is what y'all needed. Some linebackers for real. I mean, y'all needed – I think y'all needed like one or two players in the secondary too, but y'all probably could come around them somehow, trade – free agency, something. And then the tight end, I don't really know much about him, so I'm not going to talk about him. But I think y'all did really well in the draft, man. I think y'all did really good. But unfortunately for the rest of the NFC, I think the Giants somehow lucked out in the draft a lot too, because I think they might have got the best defensive lineman and offensive lineman in the draft, personally. That's just my opinion on Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. I think they lucked up, bro. I did not think Thibodeau was going to fall at number 5.
Me either.
Two corners went in the top 4, which is wild.
That was – that Derek Stingley Jr. Bro, I did not see the Texans taking him.
Bro, everybody thought it was Sauce. Everybody.
One little bit. Yeah, I'm like, if they was going to take a quarterback, I'm thinking it's Sauce off the rip. I'm like, Derek Stingley, am I reading right? What the
– facts.
What? Man.
Facts, bro. Everybody thought it was going to be Sauce. But, I mean, maybe they thinking, you know, we just can't mess up this draft. Like, at the end of the day, Stingley was the projected – like, he was the guy in this draft, like, projected – projection-wise. Like, overall, if we talk about since these guys that were drafted came in as freshmen. Like, he was supposed to be the dude.
Against Jamar Chase and all of that.
Like, I'm saying. He was supposed to be the dude. Like, he was supposed to be the dude in this draft regardless. He was supposed to be the number one pick, for real, if we're being honest. So, you know, I think the Giants got away with one, man. Getting Kayvon at 5 and Evan Neal at 7, that's tough because they were supposed to be both top 5 picks, for real. And then I had a couple other surprises. Not really surprises necessarily, but based on, you know, what the reports were. Trayvon Walker going number 1. Not saying that he don't deserve it, but a lot of people was talking about Aiden Hutchinson was supposed to be the guy. For real. He was supposed to be the dog, but I think they actually made the right pick, honestly, in my opinion, personally.
If you want me to be honest, bro, I never even heard of bro.
Who? Aiden Hutchinson?
Trayvon Walker?
Oh, okay.
Bro, I didn't hear about him until
– He's tough.
a week before the draft. I'm not lying to you, bro.
He tough though.
I know, but listen to me. I'm like, well, why haven't they showed this dude? Because all they were showing was Thibodeau and
Aiden Hutchinson.
That was it. Like for a minute. Like, I'm like, all right, okay. That was it. Like, it was nobody else that was going to be one and two. It was like, we know these are solidified one and two. Facts. We know this for sure.
Facts.
And then a week before the draft, they brought his name up. And they like defensive lineman from Georgia. And I'm like, okay, go look at the tape. And I'm like, oh, well, why haven't they been talking about him? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
It's the same thing with Jordan Davis. He wasn't on the field all the time. Like, it was like they had so many players, he didn't get the chance to like really unleash everything. Like, you from think about that, bro. Just think about that for 1 second. He was the number one pick in the NFL draft, and he didn't even get the chance to unleash everything in college. That's ridiculous. So Doug Peterson and them dudes down there, they gonna make it happen. My man Dougie, hey, I can't wait to see him on the sidelines this year. I can't believe we got rid of him, man. My guy, Dougie P.
I think Dougie P gonna have a solid season, bro.
Listen here, Trevor Lawrence, he might be on the fantasy this year. I was like, hey,
That's a fact, bro.
We seen what he do with second year quarterbacks.
And the running back, Travis Etienne, coming back from injury.
You onto something with that, brother. You onto something.
I'ma shut up though. We gotta say that for the fantasy episodes and whatnot.
You have to be very, very quiet.
But yeah, man. Honestly, bro. Overall, my last point with the draft is I think both of the New York teams did very well. I think the Eagles did very well. I think the
Ravens.
The Ravens did very well. And overall, I just was happy to see that a bunch of quarterbacks didn't get brought up into the top 5, 10, 15 picks this year, because you know how they do that every year.
We talk about it all the time, bro.
Every year. And I was just happy to see that, you know, y'all actually giving the skill players, the people that deserve this, the people that put up the numbers, the people that showed off at the combine and the pro days and different stuff like that. Y'all giving them the opportunity to, you know, make a bunch of money with their rookie contracts, not just quarterbacks this year. So I was overall, I just was happy about that, bro. Shout out to Roger Goodell getting booed every time he came on the stage during the draft. I think it was day three. It was in like the third, fourth round. They still was booing him when he came on the stage. So shout out to him. I don't know why I'm shouting him out for getting booed, but that's just funny as shit to me. So yeah.
No, real rap though.
But it was somebody else specifically that I wanted to talk about, and now I can't remember.
Where they got drafted?
Yes. Oh. Do the Bengals still have Jesse Bates?
Yes. I believe he's going to be on a franchise tag. I think they're working on a long-term deal, but I think he's going to play on the franchise tag this year or his last. Yeah, they do. Go ahead.
Bro, and they drafted Daxton Hill, who is a dog.
See, I have no idea who he is. Where's he from?
He's from Michigan.
Okay, I'm going to look
him up. He's a dog, bro. Daxton Hill is a dog, and he got some speed on him. So I think that's going to be a very good pairing. But that was my last one. I just wanted to shout out the Bengals for picking him. But, you know, the Bengals also need to get Joe Burrow some protection in the offensive line, because he was running for his life all playoffs, and he still got y'all to the Super Bowl. So imagine what he could have did if he actually had, you know, some time in the pocket.
That's facts. But hold on, bro. Before we get on to the NBA playoffs, I just wanted to shout out to Howie once again, because our undrafted free agents that we picked up, you laughing, bro. But like I said in the draft, bro, or like you said, you responded. This is a response off of what you said. You was like, I know y'all needed some secondary pieces, which we do. This is why I love Howie, because he just find those picks where it's just be like, oh, all right. Now, dude, Josh Jobe, from cornerback from Alabama. First of all, I don't care what position you play. If you went to Alabama, you got to be some type of skill. You have to have some type of talent. You have to. So I know this dude got to be something. He didn't get drafted. I don't know why. I'm going to look more into this guy. Supposedly, we got the strongest quarterback in the draft. I mean, which is funny because his name is Carson. He has the strongest arm. That's what they say.
Oh, Carson Strong? Yeah, facts.
Yeah. they said he has the best arm in the draft, but he got knee problems, and that's why he didn't get drafted, because they no team want to risk that. So just that. Then we went and got the Mario Goodrich from Clemson, cornerback. I think those little things. Oh, it was somebody else. It was another dude. Hold on. It was a running back. It was a running back from Oklahoma. Kennedy Brooks. Yeah, Kennedy Brooks.
Yep. I have no clue.
From Oklahoma, bro. He ran like a 4.4, bro. Listen here now. Kenny Gainwell was a steal in that draft last year.
Facts.
He was a steal. I think we got another one. I definitely think we got another one. And Miles Sanders, I'm sorry, bro. You're not getting paid.
They're not going to pay, bro.
I'm sorry, bro.
We already
and
knew
I'm
that,
sorry
bro.
It had to be. I'm sorry it had, because when he go, wherever he go, when he leave us, bro, he's going to snap. He going to snap for them, bro.
Yeah.
Once he learn to just go north and south a little bit more, just a little bit. Not all, you see, he still play your game, but he just need to learn how to go north and south a little bit more. But yeah, my sister's going to be ready, Kennedy Brooks, bro, watch out for him, bro. In the preseason and all that, watch out for him, bro. I'm telling you, he going to flash.
I'm going to take a look at him. The name sounds familiar, but, you know, I don't really indulge in college football that much, but I do know certain players every year. But I'm going to take a peek at him. I'm going to look at him.
Facts.
I like what he's doing over there, man.
Let's get into these playoffs, though, bro.
We got to get into the playoffs. All right. So,
unless you had something else for the NFL.
The only other thing I had for the NFL was Ryan Tannehill being a selfish prick, saying he's not going to teach Malik Willis. He said he's not mentoring him or whatever, but that's just some selfish. He's about to lose his job. Like, that's
not my job to mentor him. I think just from him saying that, he's going to lose his starting job this year. Like what? I heard he had to go to therapy because he had a deep scar because he lost last year in the playoffs. He did because how bad he played. Excuse me, talking about how he lost, because he made them lose the game, literally lost them the game.
Because he played like cheeks were.
He had to go to therapy. But yeah, he's a sucker. He's a prick. You're right.
He is. He's a selfish prick. But that was my only last point about NFL, bro. I'll be trying not to curse as much on these episodes, but forget Ryan Tannehill, man. Got air, man. But yeah, we can get on to the NBA, bro. A lot of second round series going on. It's getting very interesting. Which one you start with?
The injuries is making it even more interesting. Like, this joint is crazy. Yo, you stupid. Hey, obviously, we might as well. I say let's talk about the Sixers, John. Get that John out
the
way.
Yeah, we can get that out the way. We can
get that out the way because we already know what's up with that. My man Embiid is out with the face shoe.
MVB?
Yeah, it's a shame, bro. Like, that's so crazy. We was – and I don't blame Doc because, like he said, it was right. Like, all the teams in the playoffs do the same thing, bro. Because then, hold on. I'm a Sixers fan, bro. I watched us in that Atlantis Hawks series last year give up 20-point leads like it wasn't nothing. Now, mind you that it was in the second and third quarter in the Hawks series. But still, bro, he was going to take him out. It was just unfortunate circumstances, bro. Like, come on, bro. Like, how you going to predict a nigga going to elbow him or be all up all high like that? Like, Pascal, what are you doing, bro? Like, if I'm saying, I don't even blame him, but I don't blame anybody for it. It's just a freak accident, bro. And it's just, I told you, we cursed, bro. The Sixers is just cursed. That's just what it is. Like, we ain't winning no chip. So at the end of the day.
I agree with you that it was a freak accident, but Doc.
You can't blame Doc for that, bro.
No. But what I'm going to say is, Doc, as the coach, you have to know who you're coaching. Embiid is injury prone. So any amount of time that you don't have to have him in the game, you don't want to have him in the game. I understand he was about to come out at the next dead ball and all that, blah, blah, blah. But call a timeout and get this dude out the game, bro. We up 30 points with 4 minutes left. I'm not going to put all the blame on him. A lot of the blame is actually on Pascal because he just was angry as hell. That's really why he threw that elbow, because he didn't even have to throw that elbow to drive in like that.
True.
For real. But, like, you got to take Embiid out the game, bro. That's your most important player. I don't care if Harden get hurt. I don't care if Maxey get hurt. I don't care if Tobias get hurt. None of that matters as long as Embiid is on the floor, bro. You got to take him out the game as soon as possible, whether you got to waste the time out or whatever, bro. You have to. And I agree 100%. You know, a lot of other teams in the playoffs are doing the same exact thing. Last year against Atlanta, we blew, what, 3 20-point leads or something like that, close to 20-point leads. But that's not Atlanta. That's not Atlanta we was playing. It didn't even look like they was about to come back. Like, for real. So I feel like he just should have had and beat out the game. But I'm not going to put all that blame on him, bro. It's not really on him because, you, like you said, you can't predict that. I just feel like it's something with Doc rotations, bro. Like, just in general, it's something with his rotations that just pissed me off. So I think that's kind of why I blamed him for that, for real.
Well, like, if you want to talk about that.
Oh, man, here we go.
We can DeAndre talk about Jordan. That because we here can we get into DeAndre the first. Jordan. Yes, thank God. That was the perfect leeway into what I wanted to talk about. I was talking about the Embiid injury isn't Doc's fault. That fucking loss in game one was definitely Doc's fault. I'm not going to go on a fucking long. Excuse me. I know we be trying to stop the curse, but I'm not even going to go on a long spill about this, bro, because you know me. I'm going to be talking for 10, 20 minutes. It's idiotic. And he always throw it in our face. Philly commentated. I mean, Doc Rivers, I'm talking about. He throws it in everybody's face that he's such a established coach and he knows everything about the game and all that stuff, right? If you're so smart, if you've been around the game for this many years, right? How can you not understand how to rotate your players? After all these years, all the knowledge you have, all of that, all the great, even the assistant coaches you have on your bench, I don't think he listens to them at all. But I just don't get it. Paul Reed in the game, you go small. We look like, oh, Bam is getting strapped. Paul Reed, excuse me, I'm not going to say strapped. Paul Reed is witty. It's a good matchup. It's a good matchup. Now, of course, Bam is an all-star. Paul Reed is my young boy. So, of course, I'm not going to compare the two like that. But what I'm saying is in that game, in that moment that they were playing against each other, it was a good matchup.
Facts.
They were going at it. We look like, okay, where we got the defensive intensity. Oh, yeah, we got this one. We hitting our shots. And what does Doc do?
Take Paul Reed out the game.
What does Doc do? Like he always does. Paul Reed comes in, affects the game. Yes, he gets fouls. But some of those fouls, man, are just not fair because he's a young boy and the ref's just not giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because I've seen plenty of players do way more egregious shit than what Paul Reed does on the defensive
end. And they don't get called for a foul.
And they don't get called for a damn thing. So at the end of the day, that's just being a rook or being a young in the league. They're not going to give you those calls. They're just not. That's why he's getting foul trouble so fast. But anybody that give you that energy, bro, I don't care. Go give me all six of your fouls, bro. And you can say, oh, it's a playoff game. That's going to affect the game. Da-da-da. Bro, it ain't going to affect the game as much as fucking putting DeAndre Jordan in the game. It ain't. I promise you it's not. I promise you. I'll be about to cry when DeAndre be at the fucking scores table. I'll be about to cry, bro. I swear. I'll be sick. Every time he at the scores table, I walk away. I can't even watch the start of the game. I don't even watch it until they sub him out. I don't want to see the offense with this man on the floor. Like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to watch that, bro. And I'm going to stop this because I told you, I'll be talking for 10, 15 minutes. But listen, Doc, please, man, stop being so stubborn and take this man out the starting lineup. Please, please.
Hey, bro, can I get your opinion on one more thing?
Go ahead, bro.
Can I hear what you think about Charles Bassey only playing 5 minutes?
Bro, don't talk to me. You about to make me talk for 20 minutes, bro. Stop. Don't turn me up. Don't turn me up, bro. Don't turn me up. That was my last statement. Nigga, that was my last statement, bro. I swear. Everything I love, that was my last statement. Where is Charles Bassey?
Nah, facts. Yo,
this is player of the year in college, bro. Average over two blocks in college, and he don't get no tick.
Bro, Doc is – he's the best worst coach ever, bro. His rotations are horrible. He don't play none of the young guys. He'd rather play a guy like DeAndre who literally just been collecting checks for the last four years. He ain't even been producing for real. He just been collecting checks, bro. He collected a check The last 3 years, he collected a check on Brooklyn.
Lakers.
He collected a check in L.A., and then he collected a check in Philly.
Come on, bro.
He ain't did nothing the last 3 years.
Why is he on three contenders, bro? Why is he on three contenders the last 3 years? Explain that to me.
He ain't did nothing on none of them. That's a problem, bro. He's just collecting a check. The dude barely jumps for rebounds. That's why I don't like.
Do you see him on the defensive end, bro? He just be standing there sometimes, and I'll be like, no, bro, move. Like, move your feet. Like, he'll be like.
What defense, bro? What defense?
He'll be watching the game. Like, bro, he's so used to being on that damn bench. I think when he get in the game, he'd be like, his brain be like stuck. It's like the left side of his brain, his left hemisphere, his left hemisphere is whatever the fuck they call that damn brain. It'd be just, it shut off or something. Like, something shut off in his brain. It'd be like, oh, now I don't know. Oh, snap, I'm in the game.
Facts.
Oh, what do I do?
Bro,
he about to lay me. Oh, he laid me. Oh, wow.
Bro, he's horrible. I can't do it, bro. He's horrible. Doc, matter of fact, he only played 17, 18 minutes, but those were 17, 18 minutes where it got bad for us. Bam, Bam don't even score.
His plus minus
was negative 20 something, bro. I know. I looked at it.
Thank you. Because I was about to say that. I had to look at it. I think it was negative 22 to be exact.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I looked at Paul Reed's. And I believe his was positive. If I'm not mistaken.
His was positive and Bassie's was positive in only 5 minutes. They both was positive, bro, if I remember correctly. Bassie was definitely positive. I know that for sure.
I'm about to pull it up right now because that pissed me off. We are right on it. DeAndre's plus minus was negative 22.
Yep. Okay. Bassie was positive what?
Paul Reed was negative 3.
Okay.
Bassie was plus 5.
Mm-hmm. In 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes. He gave you 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. And yes, this is garbage term. We know that. But just let my young play, bro. Just let these young boys play. Doc is one of those coaches that is never, never going to be. His young boys can't love him. I know they hate him as a coach. Like, yo, I hate this nigga, Doc. Like, he never let me play.
Bro, he's Isaiah Brett Joe Brown with a ring, bro. He's Brown with a ring.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, he is ruining Isaiah Joe.
Facts.
Because I think Isaiah Joe would have been school. I can't even get my words together. I'm so pissed off. He would have been one of the best shooters in the league this year if Doc would have unleashed him. He waited too long to unleash Tyrese Maxey. I'm done. Just at the end of the day, Miami's going to win this series because they're going to get. Eric Spoelstra is just going to outcoach Doc every goddamn game. Tonight, the game's about to come on about 5 minutes. He's going to get outcoached. Doc is just, like you said, the perfect analogy. He's Brett Brown with a ring. And you even said that he wasn't even listening to them there. I don't even know if I was talking to you or somebody. They was like, man, there wasn't nobody listening to Doc back then. Rondo, KD, and Paul Pierce was doing what the hell they wanted to do. They wasn't listening to this nigga Doc. They was out there cooking, running plays of their own. Like,
bro, you got 4 Hall of Famers, and you got one of the best point guards to ever live. Doc, get up out of here, bro. You could talk all that nonsense when you got that type of talent. Like, in the huddle when you call a timeout. You could talk all that dumb shit. Excuse my French. You can talk all that dumb stuff when you got 4 Hall of Famers in that huddle, bro. And you got one of the most cerebral point guards that ever existed. Like, you could not coach correctly when you got that going on, bro. Like, I'm not really trying to hear that. Like,
he's a joke, bro. But we got to get off the Sixers because we're going to be talking for them all.
Nah, we definitely got to get off the Sixers. But James Harden, you are also a joke, my brother. I don't know what happened. If I don't see something, whenever we get eliminated, if I don't see something saying he got some type of surgery, he might have had one of the worst declines I ever seen.
Damn, Bomber, what you doing? My fault. I'm sorry.
What happened? What Bomber do?
He just lined out. My fault, y'all. I forgot we was middle of the episode. My bad. But no, that's facts though, bro. Like, I was listening to him.
If he, All right, let's get off the Sixers, bro. Let's go to another series.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get into something more, a little bit more exciting and entertaining, like that Warriors and Grizzlies series. Now, last night, that game, which I was pissed off because I was lying on that page talking about I wasn't going to watch it, but you know what I'm saying? I was a little pissed off. I had a little ticket with Dylan Brooks on it, and he got ejected with 3 minutes into the game, which bro said, bro made a solid point. Was like, they had to throw him out. It's like, you got to set the standard now. All right, well, Draymond got kicked out that first game. Second game, we're not having that in this game. Just don't even start that. Game three, just like, I feel like game three, they're going to be like, all right, man. We got
to split. Bro, I think they really threw him out because what I did notice was it was a little push in the back. So, you know, with the rules, the way they set up, if you hit somebody in their face, is already a flagrant one.
Yeah.
So the flagrant two is excessive, whatever. So I think they deemed a little push in the back as excessive. Just like with Draymond, they deemed a little jersey tug after he hit Brandon Clark in his face as excessive. So that's the only point I wanted to make. So I think that's what they – I think that's why they both got kicked out. I think Draymond got kicked out for the jersey tug, and I think Dylan Brooks got kicked out for the little hand on the back. I don't even know if he pushed him for real because it didn't look like he moved that much.
But, I mean, if you go in that fast, a little push could turn into –
exactly,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But, yeah, my fault, bro. Go ahead. Continue with your point. My bad.
No. You was making a solid point, bro. It's cool. You always interrupt me, brother. I don't mind. Bro, you making a good point. You making a dumbass point. Then I'm be like, what you interrupt me for?
No, real shit, though.
Nah, but that game last night, bro. Like I said, I was about to turn it off because I got mad because Dylan Brooks got, you know, ejected and stuff. But it ended up being just an immaculate game from Ja Morant. My new favorite player once LeBron retires. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to reiterate that every time so people don't say I'm hopping on any bandwagon. I've been day one when people was hype about Zion. I was hype about Ja. So anyway, it was just a beautiful game as a Ja fan because he's been playing not up to the standard of Ja Morant. I'm going to just say that. He hasn't been playing to the like how I'm used to seeing him play. I'm going to just say that. Not to say he's been playing bad, he's been playing good. He hasn't been playing like not been aggressive. Like, he's not really a shooter like that, but he ain't been hitting his shot, even the little floater, even his little run around in the paint where he's probing, and then he pull up for the mid-range shot. He ain't been hitting that. So last night was just, all right, my boy back. You feel what I'm saying? Like, my boy finally back. Alec Bohm has the worst defense in the MLB. But, yeah, that just made me lose my train of thought. But it was just a beautiful game from Ja. It was a beautiful game from Ja, man. At the end of the game, Steph had multiple opportunities.
Steph he had multiple.
Yeah, yes, but, you know, specifically I'm talking about Steph because he was real excited about strapping up Ja that first game, that last possession and all that stuff. And the last three possessions, which it wasn't really forced, but he was turning the ball over and all that. Like, come on now. I thought y'all do this and all that. Like, come on. Y'all all hype after game one after beating the Grizzlies, which y'all supposed to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? We all supposed to win that game. Like, you know what I mean? We all so excited for it. They were the Grizzlies. They are, because they obviously they're the higher seed. But you know what I'm saying. We watch basketball.
As far as talent, they're supposed to win that.
The Warriors, yeah, they're supposed to win these games. They're supposed to win this handily. Like, you know what I'm saying? But they're not, because what I'm about to say, Klay ain't there defensively, which I didn't expect him to be, but
he's bad defensively.
Listen, I was about to say he's borderline getting bad. And Steph never been a defender. He's gotten better. He's gotten better, but he's never been a great defender.
He only good at defending KD.
Yeah. Jordan Poole is no defender at all. But we've seen my boy put it in the spin cycle. Put him in the spin cycle.
Ja, demon.
He put him in the spin cycle. So I don't care. I do not care about no demon, devil, ghoul, ghost. I don't care.
Goblin. Oh.
Put him in the spin cycle, bro. At the end of the game, in crunch time, put him in a blender. So he don't have no defense. They lose Gary Payton, who that was their best perimeter defender.
Right.
Ja's just going to go off, bro.
Fractured elbow.
He showed us, bro, I don't know, bro. And I got the Warriors winning the chip this year. I don't know how they're going to handle it if Ja's going to play like that. That's all I'm going to say. This series is going to be interesting. It might go seven games. If the Warriors' defense is going to be how it was against Ja, the best bet you have is to do what Minnesota did last series. That's the best bet you have to beat the Grizzlies. Because the way Desmond Bane is playing, Dillon Brooks, the whole team, Anthony Melton coming off the bench, Brandon Clark, the whole team, even Xavier Tillman, he's starting giving you good minutes.
6'8 center, yes, sir.
You know, like, you know what I'm saying? You have to stop Ja Morant. You can't have Ja Morant snapping too. You're not going to win. Me personally, this is what I think. I don't think the Warriors are going to beat the Grizzlies if they let Ja Morant get off. Like, you literally have to be like, look, we got to, like, let the side guys get off. We have to strap Ja. Point blank period, make sure Ja don't get off. Because if Ja get off, them other dudes going to get off already. They just, bro, the way the Grizzlies play is amazing, bro. They got, like, their rotation is amazing. They all come in and they don't lose nothing. Tyus Jones come in, they don't lose nothing. DeAnthony Melton come in, they don't lose nothing. They don't lose anything.
Hold on. I'm going to slow you down. The only thing that they lose is when Tyus Jones come in, because Ja come out. Relax.
They don't lose. What are you talking about?
They don't lose.
Their offense still floats. Their offense still runs.
Okay.
It actually looks better with Tyus Jones as an offense, as a whole unit. It looks better with Tyus Jones. It does, because everybody touching the rock. You don't got to worry about Ja. Dribble. He's a star player. That's my guy. You know what I'm saying, bro. Like,
I get what you're saying.
The offense looks better when he's off the floor. That's why they're 26-2 this year without Ja. Because the offense looks better without him. You know what I'm saying? They have a team, bro. Like, they got a team. And the only way the Warriors going to beat them, Steph and Klay got to get off every game. And as a unit, their defense got to be better. Or Memphis going to surprise the world, man. They're going to win the series.
I'm going to be honest, bro. I think the representative from the Western Conference is coming out of this series.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's either going to be Memphis or Golden State. And I think we both picked Golden State to go. But, yeah, I think the winner of this series is coming out the West for real, for real. I got a couple points to make. Number one, Ja Morant is not Ben Simmons. Golden State, if you're going to keep Darren Ja Morant to shoot, clearly he's going to keep shooting. He don't care.
Yeah, like, what?
What's that? 4 for 11 in the first game? Bro, that's what I'm saying. 4 for 11 in the first game, 5 for 12 in the second game from three. Yeah, if you keep daring him to shoot, he's going to shoot, bro. Even if he goes 2 for 11, he's still going to shoot.
Yeah, like, bro, not scary.
He's confident, bro. Second point, Desmond Bane. There is rumors that he has some type of back injury right now, which sucks for Memphis. But what I will say is I still think Memphis can pull out this series possibly as long as Dillon Brooks plays well and as long as Jaren Jackson Jr. stops fouling out. I know he's the NBA league leader in blocks, but he has to stop fouling out of the game, bro. He's too important to that team, bro. He's way too important to that team to keep being in foul trouble and keep fouling out, bro.
They're missing Steven Adams. I said this shit a week ago, 2 weeks ago, bro. They're missing Steven Adams, bro.
Bro, no.
He has to be their anchor, bro. That's those fouls he's taking. Steven Adams takes those fouls, bro. I'm telling you, he has to be.
But what I'm going to say is last series, certain games up until the last game, they just wasn't playing Steven Adams because they felt like, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. and the other centers were –
Brandon Clark was acting crazy. That's why Steven Adams got out of there.
Yeah, fact. So I'm not going to blame it all on Steven Adams. This guy just has to stop falling out, bro. He's a shot block machine, so he's just going for blocks every time somebody rolls to the basket.
What I'm saying to you is he's missing Steven Adams because a lot of those blocks was coming on help defense when he's coming from the back and he's blocking that shit, bro. I'm telling you, bro, he's missing Steven Adams. That's what it is. He's not the defensive anchor that everybody think he is. He was the 4, and Steven Adams was the 5. Yeah, so Steven Adams is down there, his strong ass. He's down there guarding the paint, and then Jaren Jackson flying in, blocking that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because he's missing Steven Adams. Steven Adams had to get taken out of that last series because Cat can shoot. Steven Adams cannot guard him. So at the end of the day, that was a mismatch. They needed a smaller, you know what I'm saying? They needed Jaren Jackson out there so he can get out there on Cat, whatever the case may be. I think because Looney is in this series and all that, I think Steven Adams needs to be inserted back into the series. Like, I honestly believe that. But, you know, that's we're going to see whether that happens or not. But, yeah, I think that they're really missing Steven Adams. Not really missing. Obviously, they just won. But they're going to need him. To win the series, I think they're going to need him.
He'll be back soon. I think he got in COVID protocols maybe like damn near a week ago at this point. So he'll be back soon, bro. But I had a couple more points to make and you just threw me off.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You good, bro. You good. Let me think. Oh, Clay need to cut that nut ass fro and stop wearing that tight ass headband. Because ever since he came back with that nut ass fro and that headband, he ain't been the same. I don't want to hear it. And that's it.
The headband is taking his powers, bro.
Take that joint. The headband and the fro. Cut that joint. That joint corny. That joint is so corny. That joint so thin. Like, bro, get that up out of here. But look, I'm going to stop bidding on Clay. That was just a little funny, but I'm dead serious, though, at the same time. What else was it? Bro, they got to – for Golden State to win the series, they got to embrace – and I know they have been, but at the same time, Steph missed a lot of games. Clay missed a lot of games. Dre missed a lot of games. They got to, what's that word? Ingratiate Jordan Poole, bro. Because he is really a demon, bro. If you get him the shots when he's open, he's really a demon, bro. Like, he's different, bro. Like, I don't know what
Kuminga do, bro. I feel like he need more tick,
bro. Even Kuminga.
They got to let them young boys eat, bro, because I think if they let them eat. I'm sorry, cut you off, but yeah,
no, you good.
Yeah, bro. They let them young boys eat.
Bro, Draymond get – in a game where Kuminga play a lot of minutes, Draymond gets 4 to 5 easy assists just off alley-oops to Kuminga, bro. Like, it's that simple. That's 8 to 10 easy points in a game.
I love Wiggins. I love Wiggins, but I feel like this series is going to be a hard one for Wiggins. Mm-hmm. Unless he's just, like, super aggressive. Because he make too many mistakes on the defensive end and all that stuff for me. Like, and then if he not hitting the offense, it's like, what are you on the floor for?
Right. Facts.
So I think you can't do that. You can't swap, put Kuminga in for Andrew Wiggins. But give him more minutes. He need to eat into some of the minutes, bro. I'm sorry. And who knows, though, with Gary Payton being out, I might see my young boy.
I was about to say, yes, you can, because I got the perfect lineup for you right now. Steph, Clay, Poole, Draymond, and Kuminga.
All under 6'8", 6'9". Oh, my Lord.
That's what they known for, death lineups. Ain't that what they call them, death lineups?
Yeah, because that's going to be another one. That's
what they known for, bro. Like, yeah, I don't know, bro. They gotta ingratiate Jordan Poole and Kuminga, bro. Like, I know y'all just came back. Y'all think it's playoff time. I got championship DNA, different stuff like that. But look, these dudes that y'all don't have, you know, 100% respect for or whatever right now is the dudes that's going to help y'all go to the promised land if y'all go this year, for real, for real.
Facts. Facts, bro. That's one thing I said the Warriors had. Great depth this year. I'm like, bro, they got a bench. They are deep. And I think in the playoffs, that's really going to help them because Steph and Clay, when they having them bad games, throw them young boys in there. Throw Jordan Poole and Kuminga in there. And I guarantee their production not going to equal Steph and Clay. Don't get me wrong. But it's going to be enough where Steph and Clay could, you know what I'm saying, rest and all of that and then get back out there and shoot their threes and do what they do. Let these young boys eat. Y'all see Jordan Poole run the offense. Honestly, I think they should run the offense through Jordan Poole.
I agree 100%. I was just about to say something.
Like, give young boy the keys, bro. Like, give him the keys because Clay not it no more. Like, let's be real. Clay is just like a
– it's not even that he's not it. It's his first year back from the injury. He's still –
that's what I'm saying.
His footing, bro.
No disrespect to Clay. Come on, bro. You know, I'm a Clay fan. I ain't saying it like that. I'm just saying, in general,
they got to realize this, though. They have to realize this, though. He's still trying to get his footing. Like you said, like we said, he's looking bad on defense. Wonder why that is. Because he's still getting back together from those injuries. Like, it's simple, bro. Well, it's not simple, but it is simple at the same time when we're talking about it. Like, you can see it, bro. You can literally see it. He's still getting himself back together from the injuries. Clay was one of the best one-on-one defenders in the NBA before he got injured. Now, bro, how does he just randomly
go to Harlem? He had like 900 and something days without playing ball. Think about that. 900 and something days without playing professional ball.
And anybody that's listening to us, we know y'all don't work out. So y'all go ahead and go back to the court. Y'all probably spent like 900 and something days since the last time y'all played ball. Real rap though, like, see how tough that is, like,
real rap, and just hop on the court and
you're not even guarding the best players in the you're guarding the best players in the world.
These are the best basketball players you gonna possibly see, and you coming back after 900 days and people just, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm just saying, you, like you saying, the coaches need to realize that, like, yo, we want Clay, we love Clay, I love his name, I love what he did for us, I love everything he did. But I think he deserves, you know what I'm saying? Let him chill. Let him come in, give him the green light and be like, Clay, just shoot. Just come in and shoot. Stay in front of your man as much as you can. We're going to get you back into the groove of things. These young dudes been playing good. The Jose Context with the Bulls in the dunk contest. I don't want to disrespect his name, butcher his name. Damian Lee, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody. All these guys they got, man. Like, you know who I'm talking about, though, right?
I know exactly who you're talking about. That's the funny part. The Juan Toscano-Anderson.
Yeah, I was about to. Yeah, I was on some whole other planet.
He was about to call him Jose Calderon and shit.
I was about to call him Jose Costa. Yeah, my fault, bro.
I agree with you 100%, bro. They just gotta realize what's going on, bro. Like. Yeah. We know Clay, and I feel like Clay is like, I honestly feel like Clay is like one of us. Like, we don't want to switch off somebody if, you know, somebody say we get cooked by him. No, I'm about to strap this nigga. I don't want to come out the game just because I'm missing. No, I'm about to hit this next joint. Like, he's like one of us, bro. Like, that's what I feel like about Clay, and that's why we love Clay. That's why we always love Clay. Yeah, even when we was low key like, forget Steph, we still love Clay, like, at the same time. So, man,
Clay was always my guy, though.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, I feel like Clay is like one of us. Like, we love Clay, but at the same time, you got to realize, like you said, 900 days without playing basketball, and you guarding the best players in the NBA, bro. Like, and you getting guarded by the best players in the world, and you guarding the best players in the world. So, it's like, you know, it's a little different. You got, like, yeah. I know you got to play Clay, but this guy Jordan Poole been snapping. Like you said, all these other guys been snapping.
So, like, he can hold it down, bro. Like, I promise you, this Jordan Poole guy is different. He's different, bro. And I don't be calling everybody different. It's funny because everybody be trying to say somebody different now. But I'm telling you, like, Jordan Poole is different. His bag is crazy. Like, you watch him during the regular season. Go back and look at his regular season highlights, too. I was like, oh my God. Like, I didn't even know his bag was this crazy. Like, he has a bag. When you give him the keys, like, when Steph and Clay not there, and it's just his team, the dude is ridiculous. And he show you he can give you 30 any given night. Any player like that, you got that coming off your bench, bro? Nah, bro. Fuck that. You a starter, bro. You giving me 30. Like, I need you to start, bro. You gotta cook these starters, bro. I'm sorry. We're going to run an offense through you. We got these older guys. We already been here. They got multiple chips. Let's let you. You're going to take the keys now. You know what I'm saying? You take us to the promised land. But like you said, Clay and Steph, like, we ain't having it, man. We do this. Duh, 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 duh. But Memphis is a young team. Y'all got to let them young boys rock, man.
Real rap. But we got two more series to talk about, bro. Let's get off of them. We've been talking about them like they the Sixers, low key. I know, right? We can get into I guess we could save the good John for last. So
what's the good John to you? Because the good John to me is the Nets and
The Bucks and the Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the good John to me too.
I mean the Bucks and the
Celtics. That's the good John to me too. So we could talk about the Suns and the Mavericks first. I'll go first. Like, I don't really have too much to say.
I do.
Luka is a demon. Jalen Brunson got to continue to give Luka some help like he did in the first round. I don't care that Luka's back at this point. I know you was in foul trouble game one, but
Luka
you got to continue to give him some
ruins help. The offense.
Low key, but I'm going to let you go off that point. And, you know, the Suns doing what they got to do. Chris Paul is Chris Paul. Devin Booker you know, he coming back from the injury. And DeAndre Ayton, you're a bucket, but I hate you, my brother. You have one double-double this playoffs. One.
Bro, did you know in the third quarter of the last game, he was the only player on the Suns that didn't have a rebound? He's the fucking center?
Yes, I knew that.
Continue your point, though. I'm sorry.
Bro. He has one double-double in his playoffs. He played seven games this playoff so far. He has one double-double. He's the center on a contender. One double-double in seven games.
McGee come in for 5 minutes and give you a double-double.
Bro, that's what I'm – you know
it's
what?
It's amazing. It's amazing to me.
Facts. But that's my last point for real, for real. Jalen Brunson got to step up. It's Dorian Finney-Smith's birthday tonight, so he probably about to go crazy. And yeah, Jalen Brunson got to step up, bro, for the Mavericks to have a chance in this series. Luka got to relinquish a little bit of them point guard duties, bro, because Jalen Brunson makes the offense flow better, bro. So he got to relinquish a little bit of them point guard duties, give him to Jalen Brunson, let him rock out and get help from the guys around him, because they're not going to win a series with just Luka. It's not going to happen.
Facts.
So that's my last point, bro. You go ahead and do your thing. I got a
lot. I just wanted to go off of that. Celtics, though. I wanted to go off with you the last thing you just said about Jalen Brunson needing to give Luka more help. I think the reason why Jalen Brunson is playing, or not playing bad, but you know what I'm saying, since Luka came back, y'all don't realize that Luka is a ball hog. That's why Kristaps Porzingis didn't want to beat him. Now, get to my point, Wiz. He's a great ball hog. So it's like, thanks. I want you to do that. Go ahead. I don't care that you're doing that. But as an offense, a flow, all of that stuff, it's not good. If he has a 40% usage rate, that's not good. The ball is in this man's hands 40% of the time. That is not good for a championship team. I don't care what you're talking about. You don't know basketball if you think that's the recipe to win a championship, having 40% usage rate. He ruined. We know you can get a bucket. We seen Kawhi on you, Paul George, in one series. We seen you cook both of them up. Pat Bev. Oh, we just seen you cook the best of the best defenders. Luka, we know nobody can guard you, bro. We know that. We know that, bro. But we don't need you to be drawing, bro, and shooting all these crazy shots. And when he comes into the game, he affects the game so much, bro. Because it's just like, every possession has to go through him. Every possession. Everyone. It'd be like, yo, bro, you don't have to touch the ball every time. Go stand in the corner for the three. Let Jalen Brunson do what he's been doing. Get out his way. Because look at this. You can go, I know I'm a star. Jalen Brunson, you go snap out in the first half. You do you. I'm giving you the keys. I'm going to go stand in the corner, and I'm going to just dish the rock. I'm going to go get me 8-9 assists the first half, 10 assists the first half, which we know he can do. Get assists in the sleep. Let Jalen Brunson go ahead, bro. Go off. Do you. Second half, I take care of business. Third, fourth quarter is Luka time. That's what I think they should do, which I think Jason Kidd, he going to figure something out. He's a smart coach. He going to figure something out. But I don't think Jalen Brunson and Luka could play together. I just don't think it can happen. Jalen Brunson needs the ball in his hand. We've seen that. This man is a bucket. You give when Luka was out this year. And to Kev, you know I'm right. Kev, to all my Dallas fans stuff, y'all know I'm right. When Luka was out,
he was hooping.
Jalen Brunson averaged over 21. I think he averaged over 21, if I'm not mistaken. Every game Luka was out. I think he averaged like 21, like six. Like, he averaged what these dudes are that's getting paid $100 million a year. I mean, $100 million contracts and stuff. That's what he was doing when Luka was out. He gonna get paid this summer. I just think, like I said, Luka is too much of a ball hog, which is a gift and a curse, because he affects the game in great ways, but he also diminishes the production of his teammates.
Yep.
Excuse me. Not all of them. The guys that can spot up shooters and stuff like that, those are the guys that need to play with Luka. It's kind of like the LeBron effect Luka has. It's like dudes that need the ball in their hand, they not going to play good with Luka. You know what I'm saying? Like LeBron and Russ. Russ need the ball in his hand. Bron need the ball in his hand. And it's not going to work. As much as you think it is, or much as we thought it was, it's really not going to work. Because Russ triple-doubles look great when he's by himself. But when he got LeBron over there too, and then he, it just, it don't look the same.
Shit, so at even the end when of the day, put another player that don't need the ball all the time in their hands.
No, seriously, bro. It's just like, it's just a difference, bro. So at the end of the day, like, that's my take on that series. I definitely think the Suns is going to win that series easily just because they don't need DeAndre Ayton. They don't. It's amazing that they don't. He think he getting paid this summer, and they're dumb if they pay him. They're dumb as hell if they pay DeAndre Ayton. I'll pay him, but I'm not giving him nothing crazy. Like, bro, you don't – like, you're – it's like he's not a big man. He plays like an undersized big man. And it's the most amazing thing ever because he's not undersized. Like, bro, why do you play like that? Like, why can't you get a board? Like, why isn't your focus getting a rebound? And you're a big man. So at the end of the day, I mean, that's all I got to say about that series. You know what I'm saying? Really, I think the Suns going, like I said, take care of business because Luka. I think the Mavericks will have a better chance without Luka. And that's probably going to be a hot take, but I think they will have a better chance without Luka.
That's definitely a hot take. I don't know if I disagree with the hot take, though, but.
Bro, he gave them 45 and they lost the other night. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that. Just think about it. He gave him. Did you watch the game? Did you watch Luka? Did you see what he was doing? That was amazing, right?
He was dribbling a lot. That's what.
But
he
they
doing.
Fucking lost. They yeah. lost. He did all that, and they fucking lost.
A lot, that's for sure. Definitely was dribbling a lot. So I get what you mean by that. I don't know, bro. But
let's finish this off, bro, and get to this last series, bro.
The last thing I'm going to say is I don't know if it's going to be an easy win for the Suns. We still haven't seen Dallas at home. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
But, yeah, we get to this last series, Bucks and Celtics. I'm going to let you go first.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
That's what I figured.
Giannis is the best player on the planet. I don't give a fuck what happened last game two. Giannis is the best player on the planet. He showed you that first game. And this is probably going to be another hot take. I have nothing to say about this series yet because I just wanted to play out because Marcus Smart got hurt. And it's you know, Chris Middleton ain't here. But I'm just going to say Giannis is going to win this series. And you want to know why? Giannis is going to do exactly what LeBron used to do to Boston. And he showed me that first game. We're getting that triple-double. They were stopping him offensively. And he figured it out. He figured out, I'm going to have to kick this ball out. I'm going to have to start kicking out to my open shooters. And it worked in game one. Game two, he tried to do the same thing. But they weren't hitting the shots. So he said, fuck that. I only got 5 points. I'm about to take over. Giannis is the best player in the world. And he's going to figure this out. I promise y'all. Just like last year when y'all thought the Nets was going to beat him. Just like when y'all thought the Suns was going to beat him. Giannis is going to figure this out. And he showed y'all by coming out game one and getting that first one. Like, yeah, I know Boston is the best defense in the league. But they can't guard me. I'm going to run over Jason Tatum. I'm going to run over Jaylen Brown. I'm going to run over Grant Williams, Robert Williams, all these cats, Al Horford. Not one player on that team can guard Giannis. Not one. Grant Williams had an amazing game last game. Oh, whoa, whoop-de-whoop, 5 threes. Oh, so cute. He's not going to do that again. He's not going to play defense how he played last game. He wasn't even playing that great of a defense because Giannis still got off. When you seen Giannis was dedicated to being offensive, He had 5 points the first half. What he ended the game with? 20-something, 28, some shit like that. So you know what happened that second half. You can't stop Giannis when he really want to do what he's trying to do. So at the end of the day, I think just the fact that they have the best player in the world on their team, I don't care about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I really don't. We seen them together. We seen what they do in the biggest moments. They were supposed to beat Bron like 2 years in a row. And what did they do? They fold. I don't care about no young team. They still had one of the top defenses. They had one of the best coaches. They had everything. They had one of the best benches. So I'm not trying to hear that. They had great veteran leaders on their team. They folded. And I'm telling y'all, they're going to fold again. And I'm leaving you with that. My man Giannis going to show y'all why he's the greatest in the world. He's going to come out the East. He's going to another chip. He's going to back-to-back chips. And I know this probably a hot take too, but I believe it. Giannis is going to go back to the chip.
I hate agreeing because it kind of takes away from, you know, the back and forth of the pod a little bit. But I think Giannis is the best player in the world too. That's recent that I thought that I started thinking that, but I definitely think he's the best player in the world too. Now, I think this is going to be a tough series for them as long as Jaylen Brown can keep scoring, because I already know at some point Tatum going to come alive. And if Marcus Smart come back and he can hit a couple threes, that bodes well for the Celtics. But the thing for me is, with the Bucks going back home, if they get both of these games, the shit is over. And the reason I think that they're going to get both of these games is because of the dude named Grayson Allen that came out of Duke. He played horrible the first two games. Horrible the first two games. And they still even won one of those. Now, if you look at the stats and if you pay attention to the Bucks a little bit, Grayson Allen, without Chris Middleton, averages 17, 18 points a game. I don't think he's even got close to that in this series yet. But I think he's going to come alive at home. I think they're going to go crazy. I also think that, I'm hoping that Brooke Lopez is going to come alive at home. But guess what? When he don't, because they have a good coach, the coach takes him out the game and he puts in a different lineup to help the Bucks compete better. Because he has been playing like complete shit the first two games, him and Grayson Allen, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think at home, I think Brooke's going to come alive. I think he hits two threes, at least two threes in both of these home games. And I think Grayson Allen is about to have at least one of these home games, he's going to hit five threes. And in the other home game, he's going to hit three threes and at least have 15 points.
But you got the inside scoop or something?
I'm just throwing it out there. So if somebody listen, somebody hit a bet off of that, you're welcome. You feel me? Like, that's what I believe is going to happen. His five threes be like plus 800, plus 900. So go check that out. But, yeah, bro, I think they're going to come home. And I think the biggest key is really Grayson Allen, because he's not necessarily taking up that Chris Middleton role, because obviously he's not as good of a defender, and he's not necessarily as a consistent offensive player as Chris Middleton is, because even if he has a bad game, he's still going to give you 16, 17 points.
Right.
But he does very well without Chris Middleton out there, and we haven't seen it this series yet. And I think he's about to explode, bro. That's just my honest opinion. I think he's about to explode. He did it against the Bulls. I think after game three, he had 20-something. Game four, he had 20-something. Game five, he had somewhere in the teens, and the series was over. So, yeah, bro, I think it's really on Grayson Allen. Giannis is going to be Giannis. Drew is going to be Drew. Bobby Portis, we know what Bobby Portis do. That's why he got the contract that he got, like being a – technically role player. He got the contract that he got, like, while being a role player. He's very important to that team. So we know
they shot together, bro.
That's what I'm saying, bro. We know what those guys is going to do. So I think it's going to really come down to Brooke Lopez and Grayson Allen, to me, for the Bucks, anyway.
That's a hell of a point, bro.
I think it's going to come down to them too, bro. I think it's going to come down to them too. And Brooke, he don't even really have to hit threes, but is
no, yes, he do. Yes, he do.
But if he could stay attached defensively and still score points.
He's been out all year, bro. He's not going to stay attached defensively. So he need to hit them threes. That's the only way he's going to affect the game.
That's true.
He got to bring that big man out of that paint.
and hit them threes. That's the only way he's going to affect that game. So Giannis could go in and have his spacing to bully whoever's in that paint. That's the whole key to the Brook Lopez Giannis thing. He's out there dragging that center and power forward out
That's
there.
A fact.
And Giannis got one less big man in that paint that he can go down there and drive. So hey, when he start hitting that three and then they got to respect that again, then you'll see Giannis doing the normal. Well, he do it every game, but you know what I'm saying? He'll do it even more.
It'll be even more easier, more efficient.
Yeah, like how it looked the last couple years when he won the MVP and all that stuff. It just looked like, what is going on? Why is the lane always open for Giannis? It's like, yo, because he has shooters, bro. Like, he has his center out at the three-point line shooting at a 40% clip.
Facts.
You have to respect
him. That's a fact, bro. That's a fact. But, yeah, I ain't really got nothing else. I just think the series is on them. I think it's going to come down to them two. And then on the Celtics end, it come down to Jaylen Brown, for real, for real.
I think it comes down to Jason Tatum at the end of the day. If Jason Tatum is going to be a distributor or the facilitator, whatever you want to call it, I think that's their best success to winning. And you might be right. Maybe it is Jaylen Brown. Because when Jaylen Brown gets off, it's like they
when
look
he gets
unstoppable.
To a bucket, they look crazy.
They look unstoppable. Because like you said, we know Jason Tatum could get to a bucket. He might be off or whatever the case may be, but like at the end of that game, you start hitting threes and put him away.
Exactly.
That he can get to a bucket. I think, yeah, you're right. Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart coming back, hitting those little couple, little 2-3 threes a game. You know what I'm saying? They even won last game without him. So, oh my God, Miami about to cook us. But, yeah. That's cool, though.
Hey,
let's
get up out of here, bro.
Yeah, man. This episode, what?
112.
112, man. We out of here like peaches and creamy.
Yeah, we gonna holla at y'all, man. Peace.